Hello and welcome to the We Are the Girls in Clarets and Blue She Believes podcast. Yes, it's episode one of our She Believes podcast. So tonight I'm joined by some great guests, one we've already listened to before in our FAWSL podcast, and somebody who has a great magazine publication. So we'll start with somebody who's already been on the show and in FAWSL royalty, Rodney. welcome to the show.
Royalty. Hello and welcome to you, the new guest, but also hello to you, Reese and Ali, and everyone who's listening. Thank you for having me back on and the regal title.
And we're joined by the FAWSL full-time producer, Dan. Welcome, Dan, to the show.
Yeah, how are you doing, guys? All right.
Dan only got a Dan. He didn't get the royalty. Unlucky, Dan.
Not yet. We always wait till the second show for that, Rodney. Dan, yeah. Just for a minute or two, just tell us what you do and your background in women's football.
Yeah, so we've been publishing FAWSL full-time magazine for best part, 20 months now. 20th issue is coming out next week. We're easiest found on Twitter at FAWSLFT, where you can find details of how to buy the magazine. We're also on our brand new website, www.fawslfulltime.co.uk. Really good website. There's content going out there every day. And yeah, it's proven very, 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 very popular with the women's football community. So yeah, exciting times for us.
Rodney, now, despite you being a Man United fan, don't mention that yet because we don't want the listeners to be put off. Tell us a bit about what you do and on and off the pitch.
Well, on and off the pitch in itself, as a sporting podcast, I do my best to cover the women's game. I'll also comment on issues around the men's football, Premier League, but anything that's relating to football per se, on and off the pitch, whether it's about players or fans, etc., and just to try and look at things in a slightly different way, if that's possible.
Okay, I haven't introduced her yet. She's my FAWSL partner in crime, turned into She Believes partner in crime for the next 3 weeks. Welcome, Ali, and I guess you're excited for a new adventure in the She Believes this year.
Absolutely. But I was waiting for, like, all right, he's going to get to me. He's going to get to me. He's forgotten. I'm like, you're the only one you're staring at.
Lamin never forgets, Ali. So let's get on to some of the topics we're going to discuss in tonight's show. Something I was devastated to read last week was Lucy Bronze's injury blow. We'll talk about the effects on the England side of that soon. Russo and Patton get called up for England senior duties. If Phil Neville wins the She Believes, will confidence in him be revived by the fans? I think we'll know Ali's answer before we start. And who will be the three most important players for the Lionesses going into this tournament? So let's start with the big news that hit this week, the Lucy Bronze injury blow. Dan, how do you think that's going to affect England's preparations going into this tournament?
I suppose it's one of them, as one door closes, another one opens, another player gets an opportunity. I mean, for Lucy Bronze, I think it was a good opportunity because I'll probably get shot down for this, but I thought at the World Cup, I thought she was brilliant in the last 16, the last eight. And when you really need your world-class players to bring it to the table in the semi-finals, I thought, whereas Ellen White did, I thought Lucy Bronze didn't have a greatest game. And, you know, She Believes could have been the opportunity for her, you know, just to show her class again. So, yeah, that's disappointing to see her out. But, you know, look, we're a full-time league now and, you know, we're producing a lot of good players. So, you know, you'd like to think that we're not reliant upon, you know, two or three players now, and we've got 23 fantastic players.
Rodney, how did you take to the news?
I kind of follow on Dan. I guess she would be obviously disappointed in terms of not being available. But I wanted to see how the manager coped with one of his star players not being available and who he would bring in and how that would then have a knock-on effect to the team, especially in terms of formation and who gets put in what position. We've seen Lucy Bronze play in midfield where everyone would say her best position is at right back, but for some reason she's played in midfield. And maybe this is a time that there's a right back who hasn't been looked at previously. He was now going to get their shot within this competition. So I wasn't necessarily upset in the fact that she didn't make it, but I wanted to see how the manager would then respond in terms of selection and in terms of not selection for the squad, but in terms of the actual games themselves.
Ali, how did you take to the news of Lucy Bronze's injury?
Well, our midfield's scuppered because he's only taken four midfielders and quite a few defenders. And as Rodney says, she is supposed to be a right back and that is her best position. But you could guarantee that Phil was going to play her in midfield considering he's only taken four actual midfielders. So our midfielder situation now is a bit scuppered because he hasn't got that experience. He's got Jill Scott and he's got Kira Walsh, but Lucy is going to be a huge blow, but only if he was going to play her in the right position. If he was going to play her in midfield, then we're not missing much. But as Rodney said, it's going to be nice to see some young talent coming through under the tutelage of Steph, under Millie, that maybe they wouldn't have got before. And I think that's going to be fantastic for the youth player that's stepping up.
I think it's obviously gutting for England. When I was mentioning the reason I thought we would win, the Sheebly, she was heavily mentioned. Due to Lucy's injury, I don't think we're going to win the Sheebly's now. However, I think it could be gutting as well for the people that run the Sheebly's because she's obviously you have the world champions to promote, but Lucy Bronze is a massive player commercially as well. So I think they'll be gutted as well that Lucy Bronze won't be as part of their tournament. Ali, looking onto this, go on, Dan.
Yeah, I was just going to say there as well, Reese. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Rapinoe's in the tournament this time round, neither is she.
I think she has been called up for USA. Has she been? Yeah, I think so.
Right. Okay.
Ali, how do you think Phil Neville's going to deal with this situation?
Well, he is missing his key player, both because whether he's going to play her in defence or if he was going to play her in midfield. He's got to trust the youth players that he's brought up and that the experienced players he's got are going to work well together. It's going to be good, I think, for England to show that we're not a one-player team, which I think there was a lot of reliance on Lucy the last few tournaments. Because it was a running joke that he'd play her anywhere. And in fact, he was going to play her in goal next tournament because
he... Well, that's where I actually had her in my lineup in goal. So that's why I'm a bit gutted.
Exactly. So I think it will be good to show that we are not a one-player team. But it is going to be a true test to Neville's management skills, how he's going to get out of this one.
With that statement, Ali, I guess you're not too confident about this then with Phil Neville's management skills?
Nope, but I am looking forward to seeing Georgia Stanway in right back.
I was about to say that. That was my bet, actually. Rodney, how do you think Mr. Neville's going to deal with this?
I believe he will obviously go in a very defensive way. He's going to rely, obviously, on his more senior and experienced internationals. And considering that he hasn't got that many midfielders, he will probably go with a 3-5-2, I believe, or she believes cup. I'm not sure because there are quite a few young players that have been given their chance, which is quite nice. But it's whether or not they're going to get the minutes, and obviously, the positions that they hold in terms of their club position are they going to get their opportunity in that position? Because we know who's already there. So in terms of midfield, because of the limited experience that the Lionesses have or the England team have in this tournament, he will want to go there and defend the competition in terms of them being winners and want to put down a statement for the next major competition. So it's a good time to experiment, or as fans we would expect that to happen, but at the same time we will want to see a positive result every time they step on the pitch, and it's going to be very difficult for him to get that act right. I think he's in a very difficult position with this competition.
You know, one thing that I've just actually thought of was, Ali will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Grace played right back against Liverpool.
Did.
So, this is really second guessing here. So, maybe Phil knew Lucy was injured and out for the tournament, and he maybe said to Matt, is there any chance we can have Grace at right back to see her? So, maybe she is a potential replacement. I'm hoping that, because I'd love to see Grace play three times in this tournament, because it'd be great for West Ham as well. However, Dan, how do you think Phil's going to deal with this one?
I don't think he'll go. He might go with Stanway, don't you? I do. Stanway at fullback. You talk about the midfield there and the lack of it. I think he might rely on. I mean, if you look at the squad, I think you've got players like Hemp is nominated as a forward. Chloe Kelly's she's been nominated as a forward as well. But I think he might utilise those players a bit deeper. Maybe play them out wide in midfield. I think there's going to be tinkering. I know Lucy's not there, but I still get the feeling there's going to be a lot of tinkering, and we're still going to be a long way away from where we think we might be in Euro 2021, in my opinion. It's a tough one because, you know, you're looking at players like Paris and Duggan as well, and, you know, certainly Paris, you know, with the penalty misses has got a lot to... she probably owes England a little bit, and you know, with all due respect to Duggan, I don't think she's probably been at her best in an England shirt in recent times. At fullback, I certainly think Stanway might be his preferred choice.
Okay, so let's get on to our first game of the Street Bullies, which is against World Champions USA. It is on Friday night, midnight, and I believe it's on BBC2 for anybody that would like to watch that and get up early to support the Lionesses like me, Ali, Dan and Rodney will. Ali, I haven't told you we're going to do this because I want your literal response. Your lineup for the USA game, please.
Telford in goal. I would have Stokes, Grace, Houghton, Bright, back, and Greenwood. I'd have a five. Midfield is Walsh and Scott. I'm trying to think how many players I've got left now. So I've done six. I'm doing maths. Eight. So I've got another three. Doing maths, Walsh, Scott and Hemp, and then up front I'd have England and White.
Okay. Rodney, your lineup for this USA game, please.
You've caught me on the hop there. I'm not thinking, my gosh. I'm gonna have to go with the formation I suggested. I'm gonna go with a three at the back. Telford obviously in goal. There's no Manchester United connection there, so guys, you can rest easy. Houghton as a back three with Bright and Greenwood. And this is where it gets tricky, because I know that someone will probably say to me, why haven't I chosen Abby McManus? But I have a funny feeling, because of the injuries that she's had as well, she might not necessarily get a start in the first game. And Neville might think it's just to be cautious and not throw her straight back in. In terms of the midfield, he's probably going to go with Jill Scott, so I'd go with Jill Scott. Stanway in there, but more not as a right back, but more advanced. Gosh, who else in midfield could we go for? I'd like to see Lauren Hemp in there. Definitely, because I think she's done really, really well. A certain individual will be happy that I've mentioned that. This is the bit. And I have missed out a right back, but I can't change now. Kira Walsh. And I'm thinking about what Dan's mentioned now in terms of like Chloe Kelly being used as a winger.
Yeah.
And I just think he's thrown me with that comment. He really has. Because I can see it happening. And if she does drop back, then I would probably have her in the midfield. And I would, how many up to now? 9 or 10? I can't remember. I've probably missed a play. I think I'm up to 10. Probably, someone's going to say.
You're left with a striker.
Then I'm going to go with Beth England.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's all about the form. Sorry. It has to be her. And if I've missed someone, then obviously I will put Ellen White in there as well. So this is a partnership. But I have to go with the striker on a hot streak of form right now to start the campaign. And hopefully that will happen.
Well, Adam Bateman actually asked this question
before.
Who would you go for, Beth England or Ellen White? Or would you go for both of them? So far, Rodney's went for Beth England and Ali's went for both of them up top. Both are great options and both something that Phil Neville could choose. Dan, your lineup for this USA game, please.
Yeah, well, I must admit, I might be a bit boring here, but I do favour a 4-1-4-1 when you're playing a top-class opposition in USA. Goalkeeping position's a tough one for me because, you know, I love Carly Telford. When I've interviewed her, I think she's fantastic. Such a personality. I just feel... And I feel as though this is a problem with a few England goalkeepers. I think this is a problem with Earps as well. There's just too many soft goals conceded.
No comments from me, Dan.
There again, I think we're in a tough place at the minute because I think we've got some good goalkeepers coming through, but we maybe don't have one who's absolutely 100% ready. But I'd go with Ellie Roebuck. I think she's having a good season. Yeah, for me. She would be my number one. We'll go with Greenwood at left back, obviously playing a football, a very good club this year.
I was going to say, that's a dig right there.
Well, I'll let Dan carry on, but I'm slightly stunned.
That wasn't anything personal. I was just thinking more Leon than Manchester United. Centre halves, I think he'll tinker with this, but I'll go for Bright and Horton. We'll have Georgia Stanway at right back. And then I'd stick Jill Scott as my one. She would protect me two centre halves. And then midfield, let's go for Hemp and Kelly out wide. And Walsh and Nobbs in the middle. And I'd have White leading the line just because, you know, she brought her A game in that semi final at the World Cup. I'd love to put Beth in there. I think Beth's more than capable of doing that, but you just got to go with White. She's, you know, when people come say, oh, you know, the men's game's not the same as the women's game, I think she's the most men's game-like striker you've got in the women's game. So, you know, I just think she's such a leader up front.
Yes, Dan. Yes, loving it.
Okay, so my lineup would be Roebuck in goal. Rachel Daly at right back, Bright Houghton, both as my centre back partnership. Demi Stokes at left back for me. Now I've put a bit of actually a shock in my midfield because I'm going to play a 4-3-3. I think against America, if we counter them quickly, we can get some shots at goal and hopefully some goals. And I think that's our best chance to win the game. So I've gone for Walsh and Nobbs as my holding midfielders, and then Stanway further forward in a central attacking midfield position. And then I've gone left wing Hemp, right wing Nikita Paris, because Ali will know Nikita Paris is my favourite player in women's football. And I agree with Rodney up front. It has to be Bethany England. I think for me, if you're going to pick White based on reputation, I'm not saying you will, but you could fall into the trap of what the men's team used to do, was pick players based on reputation. So I think Bethany England deserves to start based on form. And actually, I would have England up front for every game of this She Believes tournament.
That's a great statement.
That's a big... I just think with Ellen White, I'm not looking at a club credentials, because obviously she's had a lot of injuries, but I'm just thinking her international record is as good as there is, and that's why I'd pick Ellen.
See, now the reason I've said for every single game of this tournament is I think we have to pick players now based on form. I think in the World Cup we saw some selections where that Phil was picking players based on reputations, and that didn't work out for us. So we have to try something new, and Phil does if he wants to be successful in the Euros. For me, Ellen will start again in some games with different formations, because I think that's what Phil's going to do, try different formations out with different type of players and try to get his best 11 really going into the next few games. However, Rodney, as somebody who's also picked Bethany England for the USA game, would you have her up front for every game like myself?
No, I wouldn't actually. I'd like to see her start. I believe that it would be good to see her start a game. Obviously, you're going to have to change the formation depending on the team that you're going to play. And I think with the first game, you're going to need someone who's quite mobile, for me, around the penalty area, and will be able to chase kind of almost like lost causes. You know, I'm not saying that Ellen White cannot do that, but you'll need to do that. In terms of the other games where say, for example, you're going to have to play against Japan or Spain, and they're going to keep the ball for quite a long time. They're going to have possession. You're going to probably need to mix it up a little bit. So I wouldn't necessarily say that she either plays every game, but even if she played the second game and she was playing alongside Ellen White, it would be too much for her to play every single game in this tournament. And that would be almost too cruel for Ellen, and a little bit of a slap in the face as well, because she has, at that level, shown that she can do it.
Okay. Ali, you sit on the other side of the fence in this debate. So why did you pick Ellen White? And would you start Ellen for every single game of this tournament?
No, I wouldn't. And I have to say, one great thing about this tournament and the team he's called up is we do have two fantastic on-form strikers. Everybody thinks I've got a thing against Jodie Taylor, and I don't. I really do like Jodie
Taylor. You
do? No, I think, but as Phil pointed out, she didn't go over to Australia this season for the break. So she hasn't kicked the ball in like 3-4 months. So she didn't deserve a call-up. So, which is fair, because she's been sort of lacking the last few call-ups. So it's quite nice that we do have two great strikers in Ellen White and Beth England that he can call upon. I think, especially against the USA, Ellen's played them before. She's will want revenge against that semi-final with her goal that got called offside, that they ended up crashing out the tournament with. So I think she's going to have the fire for it, and I think she's going to be hungry for it. And internationally, she's a cracking striker. Even domestically, she's only 4 goals off of beating Nikita Paris's record in the FAWSL. So you'd be foolish not to start her against the toughest opponents.
So you've just called me and Rodney fools. Thanks for that.
It's all right. Good company.
Okay, let's get on to the game itself. Dan, what do you think is the biggest key for us to beat USA?
It's a tough one because, you know, you don't know what kind of USA side is going to turn up. You don't really know what kind of tournament it's going to be. I mean, I heard Japan, when I was over there in France in the summer, the talk was about that Tokyo was going to be their big tournament. So, yeah, you don't know the three teams what kind of game they're going to bring. But with USA, I think all you can do is go with what you know, and you know how quickly they came out the box in the tournament last summer in near enough every game. So for me, it's probably keeping them quiet for the first half an hour. If we can get that first goal, then great. Yeah, just don't allow them to play from the off. And if we keep them quiet, then, yeah, why can't we beat them?
Ali, what do you think is the key to beating USA?
The defence. We've got the goals up front in whoever he picks. And if you look at the last She Believes tournament, when we drew with them, we were leading and we led them twice. And it was poor, poor defending that led to the draw. You can't let Tobin Heath get that close to your back line, which he did. And it ended up the whole muddle where I think it was part own goal, part goal by Tobin Heath because Karen Barnsley got in a flap. So I think we've got to work on our back line, and that's been the problem for England for a while. As Rodney said, we've conceded some soft goals due to lack of communication with the back line and the goalkeeper. So if we defend well, the goals will come from up front.
See, now, for me, the key to winning this game actually is actually Phil Neville's lineup. That's the first step in beating them. I think if he puts Stanway at right back for this game, you're asking for trouble. She regularly gets booked. She'll be against one of the best players in the world. And I think she'd be one of them players that hacks her down twice and gets sent off. And that's the last thing you want against USA is 10 players. Stanway is great in her position in midfield, but I don't think she's a right back. Rodney, what do you think is the key to beating USA?
I'm going to actually upset everyone here and probably those listening. I'm not sure they can beat the USA. I'll be honest with you. I'm seeing this tournament as something of an experiment as much as they're going there to defend, because the USA will obviously be buoyed from their previous victory. And I know that the last game was close. But the reason I chose a 3-5-2 is because you really need to smother them in the midfield. Even though America play a 4-3-3, they move the ball. The transition is very quick. And like Ali said, you know, Tobin Heath, if you don't stop her getting the ball, you are in trouble. Doesn't matter where she plays on the pitch. She will terrorise you. And she is one of the few players in the American team that never got the praise in the last major tournament because she was phenomenal. She was consistently playing at a high level. Didn't matter who she was playing alongside or which team she was facing. So, you know, if you can stop the ball getting to her, which is why you need to have more players in that midfield, then you've got a fair chance of making sure that you push the ball in the other direction. The other thing is that you obviously we talked about whether Megan Rapinoe was selected. If she's not selected and it's someone else, and there's another player in their ranks that I like, and it's Christine Press. Yeah. You know, she is similar to Heath. Both are lightning quick, and they play on either side of the pitch. So you really do need to strangle, using that word, excuse me, the supply line to those players, because the thing about the Americans, they are quick. As long as they have the technical ability, they are quick, and they will keep coming. So if you don't make it a kind of a very difficult battle in the middle of the park, they have the ability with the players that they have to move the ball quickly in transition and really, really hurt you. So you can set up as a 4-1-4-1 or a 4-4-2 or whatever it is. Whatever you need to do, you really do need to make sure that in the middle, they don't have time on the ball. That's the bottom line. Because if you don't, they will destroy you. And I'm looking at this competition as very much kind of like where he's trialing everything for the next big thing. So if they don't win the competition, it's not the end of the world. And no one should really kind of get too upset about it. But if they do win it, then it's great.
Okay. I've got a few questions actually about a lineup choices from Ali and Rodney actually. But before I do that, let's get on to the quick bit. Let's have a score prediction. Dan, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go 2-1 USA. I just think they've got too much, but I do think we have got quality in attack. I do think we'll score. I just think they're too strong for us. We're just not there yet. So for me, I think they could do very well in the Japan and the Spain games. But yeah, I think it'll start in defeat.
Ali, score prediction?
2-2. I reckon we're pretty evenly matched. And if we keep our back line properly, then we can manage a draw. I don't think we can scrape a win.
Rodney, score prediction, please.
I'm going for a USA win, but I'm going for a 3-2. I believe that we have definitely the strikers to score goals. I'd like to think that we score more than one, which would be nice, even if they lose. And again, the USA have they just have a nous and a knack of getting goals when they need to, and they've got a lot of experience up front, and especially in the players that we've already mentioned.
See, I was going to try and be optimistic and say 1-0 England. However, now I'm just thinking about this. I've got to be realistic. And I'm going to go 3-1 USA, unfortunately.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, I've got a question. I believe it was Ali and Rodney. You both picked Carly Telford in goal. Ali, reasoning behind that, please.
Experience. As simple as Roebuck is up and coming. She has got a great track record in the league, but she hasn't faced people like Tobin Heath, Kristen Press, Julie Ertz. You know, I can name thousands of, you know, Carly Lloyd. She hasn't faced them yet, and I think the occasion may get to her to play players like that. Whereas Telford's got a bit more experience about her. So I would go with Telford for that reason.
Rodney, reasoning behind Carly Telford in goal?
Apart from the experience, I mean, Robert's just coming back from a slight injury. And what I can almost guarantee, even though the game hasn't kicked off, there will be free kicks, there will be corners. And if you're not able to come and collect, and we've already talked about goalkeepers that are not truly in form in terms of judging the flight of the ball, you're going to need someone who is experienced at this level and will be comfortable to come out and collect balls in the air when we know that the opposition are going to kind of put in deliveries which will cause problems.
See, now I'm going to speak. I'll ask Dan the question about why he picked Roebuck in a minute. Now, for me, one thing that's key in my mind going into this tournament, and the reason I picked Roebuck is I want to see players play for England based on their form this tournament. And I think Roebuck is the most informed keeper in the FAWSL. And that's why I'd pick her. I'd probably pick her for all three games, maybe. There is a bit of a push because I've just remembered, I think Japan's 2 days after USA. However, Dan, what's the reasoning behind Ellie Roebuck for you in goal for this USA game?
I mean, for me, you know, we can't keep comparing it men's game, women's game. You know what? If
players are becoming full-time, you know, they're full-time now, and it's got to get the point where, you know, if a player's not quite up to standard, if a player makes too many mistakes, if, you know,
players have got to be able to take criticism on the chin now. You know, and we've got to look for the very, very best. And, you know, it's nothing against Carly, but I just feel that on a few occasions when, you know, when I've watched goals back, there's one or two where I just think she could have done better. And she might think that herself as well. And I just think, you know, Roebuck might go in there and she might actually thrive on the occasion, going into a huge occasion, you know, one of the bigger games in her career. And, you know, able to set a stall out. So, yeah, I think, I mean, I think it's right what's being said. I think she is probably the best goalkeeper in the division this year. Mm-hmm. She's still got a lot to learn. I have seen it. I think it was the Chelsea away game. I think she got a lot of praise, but then she got one or two critics as well saying that she made some great saves and the two goals she let in was a little bit soft.
I think she's, you know, if you're looking in the next 2, 3, 4 years, she might be the one for England who carries us tournament after tournament, you know, for a large portion of her career. You know, she looks like the one who really, really could make the difference as a goalkeeper in this country.
Okay, then. Let's get... Go on, Ellie.
I was going to say, I have a quick random question. Was there a player that you were surprised didn't get a call-up this time round?
Dan, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to throw one in here. And I think somebody mentioned this. I wouldn't say I'm surprised, but I would say that I think she deserves one. And for me, that's Ashley Neville from Spurs. I think she's been, particularly because she can play full back, I think she can play both sides. She can play higher up the park, so she gives Neville lots of options. I just think she's had a fantastic season with Spurs. And I think when they played Arsenal at the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in November, I thought she was absolutely sensational in that game against the champions. I think even when she was playing Championship last year, I think she was the only defender to win a Player of the Month award. You know, she's 26, so she's no, you know, she's not young by any stretch of the imagination, but I just feel she's consistent week after week, and I know the Spurs fans rate her. And yeah, I've been really, really impressed with her. You know, surely, particularly with the, you know, the amount of positions she can play in, I think she'd be a great asset for England.
Rodney, was there anybody you were surprised by?
Well, obviously, I'm going to say, no, I'm joking. There is a thing about Leo Galton, which I do like for Manchester United. I'm going to put that one out there, definitely. But she's not there. But I have to say, from a Manchester United fan point of view, when I've looked at other teams, I have to agree with Dan about Ashley Neville. I have raved about her so much that some of my friends who are Spurs supporters have told me, in no uncertain terms, she's not leaving the club. So that's how much I've spoken about her, because she definitely should have been included in this squad, because it is a very experimental team, and as much as it's all about bringing in the young players, sometimes you need to be, as I say, a little bit left field and look at players who are more experienced in terms of their years, but what can they add to the team or the squad? And she definitely would have been a good addition to the squad that's in this competition right now.
I have two, but if I have to nail it onto one, I'll go Gilly Flatterty. For me, feel like playing out from the back, and I think Gilly's our best ball plan centre back for England. Slightly biased because I'm a West Ham fan and she's our captain. However, I think it'd also be good for Grace to come in with the captain of your club team. So that's who I was surprised by. My other one, on a slightly biased one, but I think she's a player that really deserves it this year. I'm going to vote her my hammer of the year, Kate Longhurst. I think she had to be called up for me as well. You know, she gives us something different in midfield for West Ham. I mean, she would do it for England. She's a warrior. She's a fighter. She gives 100%. And that's the sort of commitment we're going to be needing against USA and every team in this tournament. So I got a bit passionate there with that. So I'm quite wound up, actually, that Kate didn't get selected. Ali, who are you surprised by?
I think the obvious, there's a few ones that are like obvious England choices that didn't. So, for example, the fact that Mary Earps didn't get called up in the goalkeeper slot was quite a surprise.
But I wasn't surprised by that, because in my opinion, I don't think she deserved it.
No, I didn't think she deserved it, but that doesn't stop Phil Neville. The player doesn't deserve it doesn't mean they don't get a call up. Case in point, the Jodie Taylor thing that I've been banging on about for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, there have been players that haven't deserved it, but they've been in Phil's favourites. So I was surprised that Mary fell out of favour. But then again, her form hasn't been great for Man United recently. So maybe he's actually taken that into consideration if you're talking about form.
Okay, then. Rodney, you need to go now, don't you?
I'm going to stay on for a few more minutes because I actually want to mention something about Japan, which I kind of did a little bit of reading about them, and I thought it was quite interesting considering the lineup for England, okay, or squad for England.
So what we'll do is we'll talk about each team then. Okay, then let's get on to our next topic, and it's a question that was sent in. Which player for each team are you looking forward to seeing? Now we'll start with Rodney, as he's told us before the show, and that he's got some interesting facts about that he's read up. Rodney, we'll start with you.
Well, do you want me to provide it for every team or just for one team specifically?
We can all pick a team, so you'll go with Japan then, Rodney.
I'll go with Japan. I mean, to be honest, it's all about, for me, I've looked at the team and I think that this squad isn't necessarily aimed at trying to win the competition. Mm-hmm. I believe their long-term objective is the next major competition. It's out of the 23, seven of their players, only seven, are over 25 years of age. Everyone else is 22, 23. So they're looking to get the experience in this competition and go on and build in terms of in what they want to do for a major championship. But for Japan, and obviously the names are always going to be difficult to pronounce, so I'll do my best, is Nakajima in their midfield. I'm looking forward to seeing. They don't have an abundance of goals, Japan team, because of their youth. But we do know that they play a possession-based football, and certain players do stand out for you, and that's one of the players that has stood out for me when I've watched her play. I could say stuff about Spain, and I could say stuff about the USA as well, but, you know, we will press for time.
Dan, first of all, what national team are you going to pick from this tournament, and which player there are you?
Rods, and I must admit, there was one player who I really wanted to see for Japan, and she hasn't been picked. She went to the World Cup with him, Saori Takarada,
yeah,
who was one of their young up-and-coming players. And she was fantastic in the under-20 World Cup. Not summer just gone, but summer before in France. So, yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed that she's not in the squad. Because I think young player, it's always nice to see a young player as well emerge at a major tournament. I'm going to go for USA, and I'm going to come back to my original comment, which I did get wrong. Rapinoe, she is in the squad.
Yeah,
what can she do after being the poster girl in the World Cup? You know. It's you know, it was all eyes on her. She probably doesn't get the same media interest in this tournament, I think it'd be fair to say, with it not being a world tournament, a FIFA tournament. You know, will she bring the same kind of class A game with her, you know, to this tournament like she did at the World Cup? So, yeah, looking forward to seeing her, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to seeing whether she succeeds or fails.
Mm.
Before we go to Ali, I'm going to pick my team that I'd like to shout out is Spain. And one player that really impressed me in the World Cup, I went into the World Cup still learning about women's football. And one player that really stood out for me was Hermoso of Spain. I don't know if she's been called up this year.
She has.
So she has, and she was phenomenal. And it's quite funny, actually, because I looked, before I looked up, I thought, I'd so love her at West Ham. I went and looked what club she played for, and it was Barcelona. So that's...
no chance.
So that gutted me out. But hopefully one day when she gets onto the late stages of her career, we'll see her in the West Ham claret and blue. Ali, which player are you most looking forward to seeing in this tournament?
I'm going to go with the USA as well. I'm going to pick... Kristen Press, because
yes
like Kristen Press plays for my American team. She plays for
go on, Ellie.
And I've seen what she can do in their league. She's a phenomenal player that doesn't get half the credit that she should, because she tends to get overshadowed by Rapinoe, by Alex Morgan. Yeah. Now, Alex Morgan's out because she's very heavily pregnant at the moment, which means that Press has got more of a chance. And I want, preferably not against England, but I would love to see how she's going to take on a team like Spain, how she's going to take on a team like Japan, because she's one of the most underrated talents, I believe, both just on the world stage in general.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Reese, can I add? I mean, I want to be greedy. Is it possible to be greedy before I run away? Can I add something about, apart from Christine Press, I need to say something about another player that I want to see in the American team, and I agree with you about Hermoso as well. So the other player that I'm looking forward to seeing is Rose Lavelle.
Mm.
You know, and I have to say, watching her play in the World Cup, she obviously was, you know, coming into the team where they've got big stars. When you see a left-footed midfield player playing in the centre of midfield, it does something different to the game. She's very, very graceful, and she has a very good eye for a pass. I want to see what she's like a year on from the success that they achieved, and whether she has grown into that kind of midfield player that controls a game and bosses it around in a very kind of creative way. Not a kind of a very physical way, which you would probably expect if it was a well-known midfield player, but she has such a good way of distributing the ball. I want to see how she actually develops in this competition. And that's me being greedy. Sorry, guys. I was being greedy. Sorry, guys.
As Rodney's had a pick, we're just going to go through all night now.
I'm sorry. Right, I do need to run off, but I'm glad we got to do this. And I will leave you guys to continue the rest of the conversation. And
thanks, Thanks for joining us tonight, Rodney.
Thank you.
You've been brilliant, and we'll see you, I think it's on the 26th for our FAW Show podcast.
Yes. I'll see you guys very soon. All right, take care.
Okay, then. Let's get on to our next topic, and it's one that's been asked by somebody, a fan that listens as well, and it links in with one of our topics is, what do you know of the training players that have been called up? It's Anna Patton and I think it's Hampton as the training players, but also I think Russo is it as well, has been called up now into the senior team. So Dan, what do you know about these players? I mean,
obviously Hampton we know most about because she's played for Birmingham first since Berger left. I suppose she's done well in a Birmingham side who struggled this season. It'll certainly be interesting if they do get relegated as to what she does, whether she drops with them, or whether she does what the likes of Megan Walsh did last year and go and get another Super League club. Obviously Birmingham might not go down, but she's done well. She's probably had more shots to save than many of her fellow goalkeepers in the FAWSL this season. And, you know, Birmingham defensively haven't been too bad. So, you know, she's probably got to take a little bit of credit in that. And, you know, that hasn't gone unnoticed by Phil Neville, who obviously thinks that she's going to be a very good goalkeeper for the future. Obviously, I don't think Birmingham have got that same media spotlight as what Roebuck will get at Manchester City. But nevertheless, she's a very good young goalkeeper who will benefit from being in and around the group. I must admit, I know absolutely nothing about Patton. Russo, I've actually interviewed before. I had a look at this before we came on air. I watched her in the under 19 Euros, I think it was, in about 2017, 2018, when it was hosted in Northern Ireland. And from what I remember, she came across really well. She was bright. I think she was very career focused. She had the right attitude to succeed. I don't think I noticed her an awful lot in the game. I think she's a player who's combined her studies with the playing. And, you know, obviously Phil's seen something in there which could be good for the future.
Ali, do you know? Well, Hannah, we both know about, but on the other two players, do you know anything about them?
Again, not so much. I've seen bits and pieces of Russo, again, through her under 19s play for England. She's definitely a talent to watch out for. And it, again, talk about surprises. It was a surprise that Phil went for a youth player to replace someone as experienced as Bronze. But as Rodney said to us before, this is a game of experimentation, this whole tournament. So he's got to start thinking of the future and he's got to start bringing in the youth. But I have to say, I love Hannah Hampton for one reason and one reason only. There is a clip, if you go on Twitter, of her when Birmingham were playing Chelsea and she's got the ball and Drew Spence is going charging at her to get the ball. And she does the most filthy bit of footwork you've ever seen to get around Drew Spence. It's one of my favourite things. And I'm like, for that reason alone, she deserves a training call-up.
I could be honest, I don't know much about the two training players. The only one I really know of is Hannah. For me, Hannah's a really good shot stopper. She's actually quite good at double saves. I think in both the games I've seen, when West Ham have played against Birmingham, she's been in goal. She's kept Birmingham in them, in my opinion. I believe Russo is a striker. So I'm interested, maybe, to see her in one game come on up front and see what she can do.
Go in midfield or play up front is my... I seem to remember her as a midfield player. Okay. It could be another one of these players who you could use as almost as a utility player.
Okay. Well, if it's in midfield or up front, I'd like to see what she can do, as this is an experimental tournament, I think, for England. And I hope she does well, as I do every England player, because that's why I'm an England fan. Okay, let's get on to our final topic of the night, and this is one that's going to be an interesting topic. Who will be the three most important lionesses of this tournament? Dan, we'll start with you.
Ellen White, just because I think she's got that experience. She's a fantastic striker. She gets the goals when it matters. I'm going to say Kira Walsh, because Kira's having a really good season. Obviously, she opted to stay at Manchester City after the World Cup, and I think they're getting the benefit of that. I think she's been really good this year. Obviously, creativity in midfield, you know, whether it be White or England up front, they're going to need some crumbs to feed on. I think Steph Houghton's going to be an important one, because I think she's got, maybe she's had a little bit of unfair criticism from certain areas after the World Cup. And, you know, yeah, I think she's, if we're going to do well, we're going to have to defend well. So I think, yeah, to lead them at the back, I think is a real big one.
For me, the three most important players, I'm not thinking only on the pitch with this question. I'm thinking off the pitch, because we've got so many young players in there. I think something we'll need going into the games and in training is leadership. And experience, and for me, that's what I go for. Steph Houghton, Millie Bright, and I think the player that's got the biggest role in this tournament actually is Carly Telford, because Carly's got to guide the experience with Ellie and Sandy. Steph and Millie have both got a job of sort of guiding / teaching their experiences and their style of defending to Grace and even Abby McManus as well. And so then
teach the Millie Bright style of defending to Grace, please.
They're both experienced players.
We've still got to carry on playing in the league. I don't want Grace picking up Millie Bright's bad habits.
Look, Millie Bright has experience and she's a really good defender. So
in the league, not internationally. poor girl, she's got a cracking goal scoring record, but unfortunately their own goals.
Okay then. Dan, who do you think's the three most important lionesses of this tournament?
Yeah, is that I've just given them.
Oh, sorry. Too carried away in the debate. Sorry, Ali. No.
See, for me, it's going to be positions rather than particular players. So whoever we've got up front is going to be our most important player, be that Beth England or Ellen White. I do think it should be Ellen White, just because internationally she is absolutely cracking and on fire.
Bethany England.
I'm not going to do the Ellen White chant. So it should be Ellen White, I think. But it's going to be whoever's in goal and whoever's our two centre-backs. So be that Telford and Bright and Houghton, or whoever he chooses, because we can score as many goals as we want. If we're not defending well and if we haven't got a decent keeper, we've got no hope.
Okay, then. That is the end of our first She Believes podcast. A massive thanks to my co-presenter, Ali, tonight. You've been great on that She Believes debut. It's lovely to cover England, isn't it, Ali?
Absolutely. You can get someone else to talk about.
Thanks to Dan for joining us. Been brilliant on the show tonight. And thank you from both me and Ali for the continued partnership with us as a podcast, and a great publication. So go and check them out straight after the podcast if you haven't already. FAWSL full time. But thanks, Dan, for joining us tonight.
Yep. No, please, guys.
Thank you very much, Dan.
You can catch us next week with another guest that excites us to speak to, Rich Laverty, for episode 2. We'll be reviewing both the USA and Japan game and previewing our game against Spain, where I might go on to speak about Hermoso for about half an hour. Ali, have you got anything you'd like to say before we end the show tonight?
Just no, thank you all the listeners that we've got so far. Keep subscribing, keep sharing, keep spreading the word, because we love doing it and we would love to grow our audience.
One thing I will say as well, actually, is thanks to Emma, who we had on last week. She retweeted the podcast a lot last week for us, and we actually got our record number of listeners, and that was thanks to Emma's hard work, as well as Dan. A massive thanks to putting a preview article out yesterday, as well as promoting last week's FAWSL show, a record number of listeners. So thanks again, Dan, for your great work and support of us as a podcast. Okay, I think that's all we have to say. Follow us on Twitter at Girls in Claret. Follow Ali's blogs, Hammer Up North. Always a laugh on that. And great to listen to and watch. thanks, guys, for joining us. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, where hopefully Phil Neville pulls off two lionesses wins. Bye bye.
Good night.